Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Seals, and this is Intimate Personal Conversations with the Industry's Biggest Names. This episode is with somebody who you may know as Rebecca Moore or Rebecca E.A. Moore, but she's known by her YouTube name, Rebecca Vocal Athlete. She is actually the first YouTube influencer that I've ever had on the podcast, but she has a tie-in to Broadway and performing because she is a very well-trained vocal coach, and she blew up on YouTube just in the last couple of years with posting vocal coach reaction videos, which is obviously a trend that people have latched onto now, but she's been doing it for a while. She's super fun. Super, super funny to talk to. Just a nice person. She's also an advocate for mental health, which, of course, she weaves into her coaching because something she told me, I was saying like, oh, I'm just a baritone. I can't sing like a tenor. And she goes, well, that's your first problem. You're telling yourself you can't sing like a tenor. So she weaves the mental aspect into her coaching and it does very well for her. So check the show notes for ways to connect with her if you want any sort of coaching, and obviously subscribe to her YouTube channel. Please leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening now. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast. Now, everybody, please enjoy this episode with Rebecca Vocal Athlete.
Here you go. 1, 2, 3.
Today's guest is a vocal coach, mentor, singer, songwriter, YouTuber, and entertainer with more than 20 years experience within the music industry and an ongoing professional training in reputable vocal techniques, methodologies, vocal anatomy and physiology, and voice research. She's grown massive social media followings with her videos and was actually after watching her react to a medley of people singing the end of Defying Gravity when my interest was piqued and I started to dive into who she was. And then in addition to the obvious love of performing and singing, I discovered that she's also very transparent about her journey with mental health. I immediately knew I had to talk to her. Rebecca Moore, known all over the interwebs as Rebecca Vocal Athlete, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. I'm Alan and fellow humans.
Fellow humans. Hi. Yes, you are. Okay, so you were watching this video, I went down this YouTube rabbit hole, as you do, and then I was just watching reaction videos, and I ran across a reaction video of you just watching this medley that you put together of Defying Gravity, and then Natalie Weiss was one of the clips that one of the people you reviewed, and Natalie's been a past guest on this podcast, obviously local here to me in New York, and I was like, oh, RVA, I got to figure out who you are and why you are and all of these things. And you're just diving through your social media channels and then the videos and stuff on YouTube. I knew I had to talk to you. And I want to get into later how one becomes a sensation on YouTube, because that whole world of influencer is just weird to me. But first off, let's start out with just normally where we start is just tell me about who you are. Like, how did you get into performing? What was baby Rebecca Vocal Athlete? What was she like?
Aww. I was going to say, I want to meet her. That's such a weird thing to say. It's, I guess, like a lot of people, performers, singers, dancers. It started really young, and it's an on-off journey, I think, through not being sure, or, you know, like in terms of confidence. So it was very much, I know there's something in me. I know I like to express and create, and, you know, it's been an interesting journey and a hard journey, and, you know, like life is, you know, comes up with all sorts of things, and I think there's like a calling, and it keeps coming back to you, and it's something you can't ignore sometimes. So it just, when I was standing, good. very young. I say, my dad says, I was 2 years old. He has an Northern accent. I don't know if you know, from Manchester. And he'd be like, you were dancing in front of the TV at 2. I was like, oh, okay. And it was music. And then just a love, adoration of voice, of sounds, of mimicking, of Disney sounds, you know, singers, like Snow White. And I think there's always been a fascination, and from 6 years old with my first impression, and then knowing my mum was laughing, so I didn't have to go to bed too early, and then using that as a weapon, so to speak. There's many facets to the voice, and it's not just about singing, although I am wholeheartedly, I love songwriting, I love singers, I love watching singers. I just, you know, that world where we can all just delve into and lose ourselves or connect or whatever, you know, all these many things. So it started young, like a lot of people. And then I'm obsessed with film as well. I'm obsessed with like script writing and things like that. But I guess music, singing, songwriting, impressions, you know, vocal, just the ways we express ourselves, it's always been there. It's just a funny way to get there sometimes.
There's a lot of different ways that if somebody, as you just described yourself, there's the scientific route, there's the physiological route, there's the performing route, there's the independent artist route. And I know you put out your own music, and I think you just have an album that came out this month in February, right? So we should plug.
My plan was to release, I want to release a song every 6 weeks. I haven't done myself justice. When people are like, where's all your music? I'm like, I have an album out, which was 2 years ago. And then I've written songs before that. So I have lots and lots of songs. They're not obviously all going to be very, very good. So it's a matter of like, I can just write a song in 10 minutes, but it doesn't mean it's going to be good. So I need to think, you know, is that song worthwhile? So I have a couple of producers that I work with. So I bounce off ideas, and it's just, that is a very pleasant world to be in. It's very cathartic and enjoyable. And usually the best songs are just those that I sometimes just upload on YouTube, just an improv, hair's a mess. That's never part of the plan. But if I have an idea and I need to run with it today, I washed. Sorry, the hair, people are listening like, what is she out about, George? So I need to run with that idea. And I think maybe some like creators are like that also. So you just, when it's there, you have to roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
Practice is very important. There's an improv or an improv. Usually the songs come from that, generally.
Right. But you got so much into the science and the physiology behind voice too. So yeah. I mean, why not just wholeheartedly dump yourself into songwriting? Where did the desire for the education come from? Where did the desire for the like learning the physiology and then doing the voice teaching come from?
That was purely really to help others, you know, again, because I'm so fascinated and to have a different area of, I'm always felt like learning. I'm always, for me, I don't claim to know it all. In health as well, I just spent nearly a week just learning about health, and you know, and that's why the vocal athlete, it comes from the mind, the body, and of course the voice. So implementing those three, you become a really good singer. So this fascination, you know, there's so many areas that it stems from. Like, and for me, learning about the voice, the mechanics, that's fascinating. Just like, wow, look at that muscle do that. And because of that, that happens. But if you change that and then you do that, and then if you think about that manipulation, it's a fascinating, you know.
I look at people. I bring up Nick Kroll a lot on this podcast. I'm a huge fan of Nick Kroll, and like the ability. I don't know if you watch Big Mouth on Netflix, but he does like 24, 27 voices or something.
Oh God, like that it's like just heaven.
It's just insane. And then you have people like Alex Brightman, who does the Beetlejuice voice. So you know, 8 shows a week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's talking like this 8 shows a week, and he doesn't hurt himself. So that's using a vocal fold that. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, it's a muscle that you have to train that he knows how to tap into that the rest of us just don't, right? Have you,
side note. I think mainly, sorry, carry on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, have you looked at his videos? I think he's posted his scope, what is it called? The, when you put the scope down your.
To see. Laryngeal funk.
Yeah, he's. I think he posted on his social, like when he first started Beetlejuice, of him doing the Beetlejuice voice and showing his larynx being used in a way that like, we aren't using
fluctuates like the sort of rising of it and then lowering and then the vote. Do you see the vocal folds at all?
Yeah. Because we're looking at
like
the vocal
vibrational frequency and if they're going, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen things
that?
Like that. I haven't seen his, but do link me. I'll write it down if you've got a minute. All right. I'm always writing notes. I'm a bit old school. I'm like, yeah, I got my phone, but
No, I'll send it to you. But it's interesting
because all
of that stuff, you know, getting into voiceover artistry and just being able to sing, and, you know, it's interesting to me as a baritone at best. And I've been like the look of the tenor, but I've never been able to sing that. But I've had voice teachers in the past.
Not yet.
Right. Well, that's what they said. They're like, I said, well, I can sing it in falsetto. And they said, well, if you can sing it in falsetto, then you can sing it in full voice. And I was like, I don't think so. But well, you know, there's always that teacher who's like, oh, I can bring it out of you. I can bring it out of you. And I totally get that. I just never had the drive, the time, and the money at that point in my life to do this sort of thing. And do you find this sort of thing? Do you have kids come to you or even adults come to you? Like, I'm 40. Could you say, all right, Alan, I can get you to sing that high C mixed belt, whatever it is, as a, you've only sang baritone your whole life. Like, where do you approach this kind of thing?
I'll first of all say, stop. So when you say things to yourself, your body reacts and it believes it. I can't sing. I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm only, or whatever, you know, a baritone. I'm only, or this, I'm that, I'm this. So we very much pigeonhole with everything in life. Oh, I couldn't do that. Because I get that a lot. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what you do. I couldn't sing. I'm like, right, well, you probably couldn't. It sounds really mean. Because you're telling yourself that. And there's a psychological thing that happens that your body responds to that. And it's like, yeah, I can't do that, you know, and the mindset. And that's why that thing is crucial. So I'll say, whatever anyone has said to you in the past, teachers or whatever, coaches and kids or whoever, friends, forget that and start even at the basic level that you could be like, oh, I know all this. And it's just because you never know, there might be something that you didn't know. Like I always say, I don't know at all, but there is a lot of new information coming out all the time. And it's about getting what works for you. What techniques, and there might be something that's missed. And then I will do my utmost, my best. I might do a diagnostic test as quickly, scale wise, or whatever, simple. And then you can just hear, even through someone speaking, how they're going to sing. Not always, that's not always the case. And then it's about developing and moving on. And for you, you're saying it's so basically increasing range, but with that, you want power. And with that, you need, you know, like there's different elements that come into that. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, okay, your goal is to sing, like what's a high C, is it?
Sure.
So Barrett,
sure,
yeah.
Sure, we'll go with
so
that.
Tenor level.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, and then I'll go to work. Do this, try that, try slightly different. Okay, how's your breathing while we're doing it and your posture? Because posture plays a massive part that you kind of forget. Exactly. And I do, and that's just bringing awareness. I'm constantly a bit like, oh, my posture's bad, and I'm quite tall.
Lean into the microphone. That's my thing. No,
there's a million things to get you there, but it takes time. It takes time. As you know, I didn't have the time and I didn't have the money. So you need to invest, not even really the money sometimes, but that helps. But the time, I'm not going to lie, like you, $2.99. It's like, for me, it's habitual practice that people most, the only difference between successful people doing something is because they're obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Not really much else going on, you know?
Right.
You're obsessed
and
you apply and you do it every single day. You can break, I'll allow that. If you want to be good at something, do it every day. Don't listen to the negative talk or whatever and stay motivated. But you generally, like the singing journal I've got, that I created, you know, habitual practice. But you
when
apply
you,
that with anything you want to be good at. That's the
Yeah, difference. Well, when did you bring in the mental health aspect of this? Or when did you realize that was one big piece of the puzzle? Because you mentioned that several times in their conversation already.
It's so important.
You know, the first thing you say is, change your mindset. Well, I said I can't do it. But
Yeah, okay. I can't.
So, right. So where and why did that start coming into play?
I think because of my own personal journey, I've had depression and anxiety. And I used to be really like, there's shame. I don't talk about it. And I think there's so many people that suffer anyway. So I'm like, well.
Yes.
It is a big deal. But, you know, it's like, you know, and especially the creative, like, I don't know the statistics on that, but when you're a creative as well and you have these highs and you have these lows, you know. And so, like I was saying, I do have confidence, but it's something I've had to work at, you know. And I am an avid believer in if it helps, self-development, you know. And where some people be like, well, that's a load of rubbish, but Malala kind of saved me. So I love it, like reading, or, you know, a bit of Tony Robbins, a bit of Wayne Dyer, a bit of spiritual, you know, Eckhart Tolle or aspect to it, or the business side, Gary Vaynerchuk. Oh my God, have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
That was my half impression that I didn't quite want to go into.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Which I have done. Sorry.
That's the Lola from Big Mouth. Oh my God, have you heard of him? Gary V. It's. I mean, God, I've lately in episodes been talking about Clubhouse, and I actually was in a room with Gary V.
Hearing of Clubhouse. I'm not missing out on a club.
Oh, it's the latest and greatest. Everyone's, you know, getting in.
Everyone's on there.
It's so weird right now. Anyway, but it's the most successful people in that I've seen. A lot of them are just like unabashedly out there from a positive mental perspective. It's not like I'm super smart and I have all these great ideas. That's half of it. The other half is I'm willing to take the chance and failure makes me want to succeed more versus failure makes me want to crawl in a hole.
Yeah. And you want to fail. Actually, I did a video. I know people are like, what? But actually inviting it, allowing it, because you're going to. Unless you don't put yourself out there and you live in a comfort zone. I get it. It's warm. It's cozy. You're not going to grow. Growth is doing something, you know. So it's really difficult, I know, because I struggle with it as well. Now and again, there are times I'm like, what if someone ... People are always, you know, the greatest thing is in the world, the greatest ... are there people, but generally because they're unhappy. You've got to remember the people putting you down are generally those who aren't, you know, doing much mainly in their own lives. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that. And actually, I'm always a bit like, you need a hug, you know, turn it around, come over here, big guy or big girl, you know, so... but it's not about them anyway. You don't want to feed. I generally don't. Well, I say to others as well. It's just so important in terms of the singing. Or this is what I mean. It applies to everything. But singing wise, if you can't let them dictate your future. I still get you can't sing. I'm like, well, I know I can. I'm not saying I'm the best. I know I can hold a tune. So, but they're still going to be, you can't sing. Thank you. That doesn't. There's no serving. And you're not really.
YouTube trolls don't count.
I know. But I get it. I still get it. And that's cool. I'm like, welcome. I don't get lots of them. Feel free if you want to. I'll be there.
Well, I'm glad you feel threatened by my singing enough to tell me I can't sing. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you sound like an angel. Why don't you sing now? Everybody
Yeah.
Like
why don't you start a YouTube channel, buddy?
Hey, but why don't you do it?
You
see your name.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, see? Everyone in America is a gangster.
Oh, the accent.
So the YouTube channel, you have 1.12 million subscribers, joined April 28th, 2012.
1.3.
And so, you have over a million subscribers in just a matter of like 8 or 9 years, which is pretty damn good. And
well, it took me to get a million in, I think, like a year. It was either 2 years or a year and a half. I forget. Because it took me 1 year. Because I wasn't on it for that. I mean, I was on it, but I would post like once every forever. I just wasn't dedicated.
Yeah, yeah.
My first post, 2012, was just me singing some, like, Stand By Me. And I didn't say post for another month or two. Or, you know what I mean? It's very sporadic. But the growth came when it was 2018, maybe. So,
wow.
Because it took me a year to get 1,000 subscribers. And then there was a point where I was getting that daily or maybe 4,000, a good run, say 4,000 subscribers daily. So from say 2012 to say 2018, nothing really. And then from 2018, where I was doing the vocal coach reactions, that's where it changed. That's what propelled and carried up. Like,
well, that's what I was going to ask, was what it was that kind of brought this up. Okay, so this is even more of a recent thing than I initially thought. So you've only been, we'll put in air quotes, a big YouTube influencer for just like 2 years, basically, which...
Yeah, it's been really full on. Amazing. No complaints.
Right.
But there's a lot to it. And there's so much you learn that it just sounds like, oh, you're a YouTuber. Like, why didn't you get a proper job? I'm like, yeah, okay. Why don't I?
Well, you can make a lot of money off of being a YouTuber.
You can. There's a lot of copyright issues that do that. A lot of, well, people doing YouTube anyway have to deal with. And it is, that can be stressful. You're just like, oh, that work I've done. And I'm like, free advertisement for your band that now suck. So, you know, like, no. So for me, it's just like mixing it up a bit. I don't generally just do the vocal coach reactions, although they are predominantly very, people like them, you know, and that's, I've always been a bit like, don't understand, but I'll do it anyway.
I watched the unboxing of your, of your 1 million oh, yeah. YouTube award. The one, the plaque that YouTube sends you when you hit 1 million.
I know, it was so shiny.
Yeah. It is.
It's actually a good weight. The other one, not so much, but this one was adequate. So thank you, YouTube.
The whole like influencer side of things, it is so much work, I guess, to get to that threshold. And then once you're there, I know people who have, you know, that have a couple hundred thousand Instagram followers, and they get like five figures to post single Instagram stories.
What are their numbers and who are they? Clearly I'm doing something wrong. I mean,
like, seriously, this sort of world is just so, I mean, it's not foreign. It's obviously been there. But for me to have multiple jobs and multiple kids and multiple interests, I'm just like, I can't focus on it long enough to make it turn into something.
No, I know what you mean. And actually, I haven't uploaded in, I'm not sure when this will go, but like 3 weeks. So I was quite ill and I wasn't sure what was wrong. I've had tests, and not to go all like, ugh, for me thing, but like it felt like a virus. But then my friends, they say, I don't know how you do what you do. I'm like, well, I don't know. I need a PR. I'm always like, I need a PR. I need a PA. I need all these people that would just rinse my funds. But it can be really lucrative. If you're doing it for that, probably wrong reasons, but whatever, all different. But you've got to for longevity, do what you love, you know? But absolutely, there's like multiple websites that come from it, you know, which is amazing. And I've met so many amazing people, like, and the opportunities, you know, like talking to Alan, of course. I mean, he's
of course.
Oh my God. So there's just like, but you're right. It's multifaceted. And I guess it helps if you have people to help you, but if you want to start, just get a phone, but
it's got to help you with your vocal coaching business. And I would assume that now, I mean, so 2 years of your success, one of them has been stuck in quarantine. So obviously, that's been.
I go out much anyway, Alan. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? I'm not always here anyway. I'm like, what's the lockdown? So yeah, I'm just like, what is that? I can't go out. Well, don't anyway. So I'll just. But yeah, it's definitely been harder, but it's because I would go to the gym, for example, and that would be my little. There's a human. I'll talk because it's very insular what I do. It's me and my camera. Hello, camera. And I always realize there are people behind there. At some point, they will see this. But it can be quite a isolating job. But I think it's probably best if I work on my own. Or if it was a collaborative thing, that's fine. But
do you ever feel like you've missed out, or you're missing out on something from, you know, the West End? Obviously, is there? You're in the UK. Yes. Are you in London, by the way? I guess
no.
I
never asked.
No,
I'm not.
You don't have to say exactly.
An hour and a half away. I know in America, I'm like, I'm miles away. They're like, that's just up the road. I'm like, no, it's not. It's an hour and a half away. Like, that's quite a good time.
So I'm in New York, so like 3 miles is an hour to get anywhere. so I totally feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, with being in the UK, there's the West End, there's all that stuff. And is that something else that you've wanted to do in life? Or is it just you want to do the independent recording artist track? Because there's no right or wrong to either thing. It's just, like you said, what you want to focus on.
Focus, what's that? I find it really hard because, I don't know, anyone out there give me the answer. I love doing so many different things. Of course, like writing your own music, you can't get better than that. Where you're like, wow, that came from me. Where did it come from? I don't know. So that's just an amazing thing to be able to do, or connect to whoever wants to listen to it is always a beautiful thing and lovely. And then there is like the musical theatre world, which I know I've had like, why aren't you doing that? I'm like, well, I'm just not. I don't know. I didn't go down that route. Although I did did a little bit. Is that a siren?
Yes, I'm in Brooklyn.
Cool. You're just like that. It's just my friend.
I didn't even hear it. I didn't even hear this.
I'm like that. I'm very like, yeah. Boop, boop. I think I'm just used to, like, when I hear voices, like, you know, always very much there, unaware. So yeah, musical theatre, as we would say, fascinated as well. But because I sung, was it Don't Rain on My Parade? Mm-hmm. My channel, not that long ago. So I was like, and sometimes I just get the feels where I need to sing something belty and big like that. Or a Disney classic, or maybe a medley, you know, because it's amazing. Or see a show. I need to see more shows when we're allowed.
Well, there aren't shows. There's no shows to see.
Well, one day when online, it's not the same. Last show I saw was Wicked, actually. So, yeah.
Oh wow! Yeah. But what's interesting? Because there's a lot of artists that I know that when they were younger, they dabbled in the musical theater, and then it just wasn't for them. They wanted to do more of what you said, that it comes from you. It's your expression. It's your catharsis, because you're from an unfiltered way, you're able to write and sing and perform and record your own song. Whereas if you're handed a script, then you have the director and the lighting designer and the blah, 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 blah. And so you've got multiple levels of abstraction.
Yeah.
Before, and so I feel, I guess in my experience, there's a lot of people who I sort of feel are similar to you, that are very introspective, very into their own mental health these days as an adult, you know, not quite knowing how to process that as a child, that feel the need to, they're just, I guess need is maybe not the right word, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's part of who you are to have to express by writing your own music, writing your own lyrics. Mm. Writing your own, like, you've got three guitars hanging in the back, I assume.
Play two guitar. Ukuleles, it's, one guitar. I know. I don't bother saying to people now, because I know they look like that, because they're baritone ukuleles. One electric. Can't even do that finger thing. It's the opposite way around. One guitar, which I don't really play the guitar much. I just fell in love with more the ukulele. Maybe I was a little bit lazy and I just thought, well, this is way more easier. And I just want to really get out lyric. For me, it's not about like playing really well, though I understand if you see a guitarist, I'm like, "Woo, that's amazing!" And I go off and like the riffs and the runs there, you know. But for me, it was just like, and then give someone else the job of producing. Although I do have an Ableton Live, which I've had over a year, and I do plan just to play around and have fun with that. But it's another thing to learn, which should be fun. But I don't want to see it as a task. Like, oh, I've got to learn the Ableton Live now, produce music. Or just play, have fun.
Well, no, it's hard. It's really hard to keep up with all this, and especially technologically, everything's changing in lockdown. I mean, you've got obviously your home setup, your home studio looks great here. From what's in frame, I'm sure, like out of frame, it could be like boxes and, you know, cobwebs.
They look like boxes, but they're sound panels. They look disgusting and blocky.
No, these are sound panels behind me. All this wood.
Panel. Are they? Oh, they look like floor thingies.
Yeah, that's why I got them, because it's like cool, and I put the fiber
twinkle
optics.
Light.
That's a fiber optic kit from Amazon that I put in there.
Oh, Amazon.
Real, I know I'm adding through to the
death of this high street, but <That's pretty cool>. Sorry.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode. July 2016, your big operation.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's a fun day out.
So, the July 2016, big operation, and there's not much that I know from other than what you posted on social media, obviously, which is that you had an ovarian tumor, and so now you had the big operation to remove both ovaries and fallopian tubes? Am I
accurate?
They
were quite kind. They left one ovary, which is quite sweet.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Actually, they gave me the option. I don't know, I want to do Northern accent again, but do you want them all? do you want, I was like, no, maybe just keep one, you know? So not like a full hysterectomy at whatever lovely young age, you know? So yeah,
that was 2016. And then obviously the YouTube didn't come into 2018. I guess your mental health, did that take a hit at that time? Or was that just like more of a challenge to overcome and felt good to go. I mean, obviously didn't feel good to go through it at the moment, I assume, but
Recovery was the worst thing. I was very, yeah. I've got this cocky thing in me sometimes if I'm addressed with a problem, like, because I said to the doctor, I ask weird questions, or questions maybe people don't ask. I'm a bit strange, but I was like, hey, doc. And they're like showing me the cyst or tumor, and oh, this is bad. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. What's the chances of me, thanks for that, clearing that up. What's the chances of me having cancer? And then she said, and it never was cancer. It was, you know, benign. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know, 6 out of 10. Sorry, the accent's terrible. I was like, oh God, that's higher than I thought. Because I was thinking, it's not that. I don't get that. And then I was treated as if I had mm-hmm. cancer. And I was like, that word just triggers me. And I'm like, ah, that's really bad. So I just spent, before that, when I thought of like IBS, but my stomach was growing. And when I was lying down doing yoga, I could just see this lump. And I was like, oh God, what's that? And then I was like, fine, I'll go to the doctor. But it wouldn't stop growing. And I cleaned out gluten and wheat and sugar, which feed, I don't have to go too deep here, but bores for certain people. But, you know, I did a lot of research and I obviously doctors are amazing and they help so many people, but I'm a very curious person and I've been obsessed with health actually since at school, secondary school. So that would be really cool and pop into the library there and read health books. So there's no smoking up at the end there on the field. It was me, you know, so I've always had this like, not obsession, but curiosity, like about the body and how it can heal. And, but anyway, so they were like, well, we need to operate. It's like now type thing. But and it did shape me and it did, I lost so much weight. I was like an actual skeleton when it came to, God, it's a very long story, but I'll keep it short. When it came to recovery, and the recovery was the hardest, and then I had an infection, then it was literally like I was just like this in bed.
Oh no,
life couldn't get any for me at that time. I know people have everything going on, but couldn't get lower. I could go into it maybe over a whiskey, not that I'm drinking right now, by the way, very cleaning everything out. It was really hard, but I didn't do the poor me victim. I was very conscious. I didn't really talk about it, which may be unhealthy, but I just, because it is what it is. I know it's kind of a horrible saying, but it happened. What are you going to do about it? So I was like, well, I'm going to recover and have juices and sort of cleanse myself at the same time, feel good. At least I'll do my part, what I can do. And then it was a matter of like, I need to walk, which is kind of hard. So I didn't walk for a very long time. And then my goal was like to get to the end of the lamppost. where the lamppost, where my house is, and the lamppost. And I was like, oh, that's quite far. I'll see what I can do. You know, so it's a very strange, because you're so, when you're, you take life for granted, mm-hmm. for the gratitude. So there's it. And then I just delved into self-improvement, you know, like, so to fix the mind that was like, uh-oh. And to make myself better again. And it's like meditation, yoga. So that's been like maybe, I don't know, since 2016. It was like a very long time ago, whatever years. And then I've just been delving in that world, and I still do, because I have to. And then I like to share that information, which people seem to like. And they're like, thank you for that video. Or at the end, I'll do this kind of spiel, like, kick your kind of bum kind of thing, and just do it kind of, you know. But there's hustle and flow. So, you know, you just take what helps you and don't take what doesn't help you. And everyone's different. We all heal different ways. So,
has your approach to singing and songwriting changed since that? I mean, before, you kind of smirked when I said that. I guess I'll stop.
No, because I never thought of that. I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll have to like listen to the word. I don't know. Sometimes it just comes out. So I don't know. And then some people have said, are you okay? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm fine. It's just sometimes harder to sing about love. Although I do want to write sort of musical theatre songs as well. I wanted to do one on Bridgerton, actually. Someone said, have you seen the Bridgerton musical theatre thing? I was like, oh, God, it's been done. I don't know. There you go. I haven't seen it, but I had that idea. I was like, well, I don't think I'll copy it now. You know, it'll probably be completely different. So it probably has changed. Yeah, maybe darker, maybe. But at the same time, you know, Golden Daffodils I wrote, that's quite a sweet song, I suppose. But like, well, the connotations there. But
yeah, I just meant, I guess, what I was curious about was if you feel the need to write your own songs on a stronger basis now. Like before, it was just, I'm going to do it because it's there. And now that, you know, you've sort of had this experience that I guess is a reality check, for lack of a better term. Are you now just waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I got to write a song today because I feel like my emotions are stronger or my emotions are less? Mm. Or for me, it's, I take this back to myself and think like, oh, I'm invincible. I've been fortunate enough. And I realize this is incredibly lucky to not have any major illnesses in my life. Mm. I blew out my knee in high school playing soccer, but that was an easy ACL repair. I put easy in quotes. Killed my professional soccer career. Not that I had one. And I feel like if I was physically unable to move, like I'm such a physical guy. I play with my kids. I got two boys. I wrestle with them. And if I was physically just unable to move, then I don't know who I would be, if that's kind of okay to say, I guess. Because I guess one of the closest things I got was for a couple of days, I had a vasectomy, and a week after that, I'm supposed to lay down and I can't wrestle and I can't pick up heavy things like my children. And they're used to just like coming up and tackling me. And I couldn't do that. And I felt like I was letting them down. I felt like I was letting myself down. And I knew it was temporary, so it didn't.
That's like the thing. All things, well, there's a saying, isn't it? All things will pass or something in the end. Like, yeah, lockdown one day. In your own time, Boris. let's not get into politics. I don't do that. I mentioned Trump once because it rhymed with a word. They're like, don't bring in Trump. I was like, no, it just rhymed with a word. Oh, my gosh. Like, don't do it. Or religion. I'm not stupid. Don't worry. God forbid you have an opinion. It's temporary. Yeah, so there's always things. Like throughout your life, you'll have, but hopefully, like you said, you haven't had anything major. But I used to say, I don't know. I mean, you're saying, do you have, I don't process it now. I don't think about it unless someone asks me. So I'm like, yeah, I had that thing. I've got a lovely scar. It's so beautiful. I guess I came out of it like, I'm going to say yes to everything type attitude. And I did reflect, like, what was I doing before? Not a lot. Or I felt maybe, loser, but I was doing things and being kind. You know, let's remember these things that we forget. Like, let's get those numbers up and how many views in that video. It's like it's almost irrelevant. If you feel like your health is in decline, you need to something's not right, and you need it, whether it's mental health or physical, or usually it's the same thing anyway, through the gut. Right. Anyway, you just need to focus on yourself, you know, and then don't worry, because usually things pan out, or, you know, you just do the best you can. And then for me, it's just about learning. And then obviously seek medical help, of course. but not become so reliant, like, oh, I got this. Why, help me out. And for me, relaxation is key, because I am, as you can probably tell through the videos, I'm very energetic, very lively, but I can't sustain that. You realize. Through the years, it's unsustainable, and it's not, I don't find it's natural. Although I am like that, but there, you need downtime, you know.
Yeah.
But for many years, I was just like, bam, 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 you know, because I like giving, I like doing what I do. But I just have to say, just in a minute, I'll be back.
Yeah. No, you know? I get that. It's pacing.
Because it's insane. As soon as you go on Instagram, bam. As soon as you go on YouTube, bam, you know, and it's all there. So much information. It is amazing, but you have to, I'm very bad with time management as well. So I'm really selling myself here.
Do you have time to unplug? I mean, do you schedule time to unplug? Because I would imagine the constant with hundreds of thousands of followers and millions of YouTube subscribers.
I know, they're so nice. And like, sorry,
the comments and the interaction with followers and all this takes so much effort that it becomes a job in and of itself if you want to maintain it.
Social media, I get it. There's jobs for that. But I am doing it all. And people are like, what? And I'm like, I can't help it. Because I want to reply genuinely to someone who's like, oh, you make me smart, or something like, you help me in my life when I'm feeling really low. I watch your video, you know, like, or more than that as well. Like, oh, you help me, like, depression. I'm like, really? You know, like, me? Well, that's what they're saying. I'm not saying it. So, but all these amazing things, or just like through voice as well. Like, oh, I can sing better now. I'm like, okay, I've taken your advice. Da, da, da. Or could be so many things. I feel like I do want to be there, but I know physically one of me and a few people, it's not easy, but I do try and interact, because I know that's, because I know I'm not above anyone or anything. And I do try my best to sort of be there for people, because I can't do that like as much as I can without burning out.
Well, how do you manage, you know? You said you're bad at time management, but how do you, manage the disconnect from the internet? Because I'm always very conscious of, like, I don't want my phone to be the first thing I look at in the morning. I don't want it to be the last thing.
Yeah, all these things don't do.
Bed.
Yeah,
you know,
cortisol will rise.
Right. It's just I don't want to be chemically addicted to notifications. Right, because your brain puts out. Right. Well, yeah. Your brain puts out.
There's something
serotonin.
On Netflix. Have you seen that show? What's it called?
Social Dilemma.
Yes. It's so clever. Yeah, Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
Dilemma. And the scroll. I'm like, yeah. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
You know? The way we are triggered to I can't remember the exact scientific, you know. But it is, but it's all very scary. But you have to be in control. Don't let it, because you're the what do they say? You're the consumer or something. You're the product or something like that. You know, you're not what you think you are. Like, what am I? Hence the adverts and the.
We're not as in control as we think we are.
No, and it's all about money. Mm-hmm. And we think we're gaining something, but actually it's all about, you know, that. So I've taken emails off my phone. I'm doing well, guys. There's no one here. Sometimes I look over there. There's no one there. I have it. No?
You just have stick figures over here. You're like, hello.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. So I've taken off email. This is like a slow process. And you think I would have done this a long time ago. But because it can be really demanding, but at the same time, like I say, I like giving, so I find it hard. I'm like, but I don't know. And then you can spend hours. I still look at my comments. I know majority, sorry, I'm wrong here, don't really do that. But I'm like, but they're your people. You need to, you know, obviously the ones that are just quite generic. I'm like, not so much. But those who have spent time, right? I don't know. I'm a bit strange, as you know. So I just think, well, they've given up their time. I mean, obviously I can't sometimes. I try and read everything, actually. I've spent a good few weeks off, actually. So when I go back in, I have to be at a state where I can do that, you know?
Right, right. No, I get it. I get it. I mean, there's a lot of comments out there. There's a lot of trolls out there, I think. I mean, you were saying earlier that people tell you can't sing, and obviously that's...
I know, I do. I don't laugh. I'm like, oh, it's a good thing. Yeah. I'm confident in certain things.
I mean, that's somebody's personal opinion, but if you hear that long enough...
Okay. Oh, yeah. I imagine if you're starting out or you're not so sure, or family members. Amount of stories through all the years that I've coached, I could tell so many stories, and I'm like, I still go, what? How dare that? You know.
The first time you're vulnerable, you put out a song.
Here's my soul. So you're even gonna, here's my soul. And if what? Ugh, your soul's disgusting. You know, like, I don't know.
Right.
I see it like that. It's very, you're very vulnerable. And to express yourself in a very beautiful way, whether it's on pitch or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter what the voice to me, it doesn't even matter. if it's about just doing what you like doing, of course you can learn and get better, but you know, just sing for yourself, you know, at least at that level, sing because you enjoy it and because you like it. Do not let others dictate. Just remember where the source is coming from. Who is saying those things? Well, usually, if it's a family member, can they sing? Probably not. Are they sad? Probably. You know, like they're not going to really be happy in their own lives, but people don't think that. They're like,
most negative comments I've found come from people who are just trying to make themselves feel better. I mean, that's the cliche thing to say, is that somebody's putting you down because they don't like themselves. So,
yeah, like a bully. Bullies do that.
Right. And you can hide behind the anonymity of the internet and whatnot. I mean, YouTube comments are just horrible anyway.
Horrible.
But for every negative comment, there's got to be like a bajillion positive ones.
There's way more. There's so... I screen capture. Is that sad? Maybe. some of the comments because I'm like, I could be in tears.
That's positive affirmation.
There's so much love. And I'm like, where do I put that without looking like an egoic human who's just obsessed with me? Like, oh, there. Or it's like a little wall. Or if someone makes like a fan page, what? You really want to do that just for me? That's insane. Thank you. Thank you. I don't say much more because it's like, thank you.
Like, yeah, well.
So much more. But if your mindset is negative, you are what you think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're thinking life's bad, da da da, I can't sing, which, you know, like I said, we'll go through it, whatever. But then you're more likely to attract that. But that's like law of attraction. You can go down that route and that kind of thing, or just, but it's true, you know. I don't see Will Smith really sort of questioning himself. And that's great. I admire people like, wow, they're so cool. And I, like, so confident, or certain people. And I think that is amazing. But everyone is human and everyone has a weakness and everyone still goes to the toilet. Every single person that people admire. And that no one is any different. We're all born the same, just different cultural reasons, environmental, you know. So on that level, I'm like, oh, yeah, cut that crap straight away.
That's interesting to me. You say everybody still wants to be liked, right? And
everyone wants to be, yeah.
It's, I've interviewed some super big names on this podcast. And like, it's funny to me because some of the biggest names, we hit stop on the recording and the first thing they say is, was that okay? Is that all right?
No.
Like, but we're gonna continue. Yes, you gave up your time. Of course it's okay.
I know, right? That's like, wow. Well, even if it, like, yeah, I'm just always, I love doing podcasts by them. They're really fun.
Maybe you should have one.
Do you know what? Don't, because that's another thing. I was like, I want to do podcasts. How do I do it all? I just want to talk in this kind of calm way that people talk about the accent quite a lot. And I don't know. I just do that all day long. And then go really shrill and high pitched.
You could do like the British ASMR going to bed. Or there's a place for the, what is it? I just recently discovered like the relationship ASMR, like someone told me about it. I wasn't seeking this.
It's okay if you were around.
No judgment for those who need it, but it's like, it's like, hi, honey, how are you doing today? I'm holding your hand. We're cuddling in bed. You know, just like romantic things that
cuddle especially me.
Yeah, like I'm stroking your hair. Just really,
you should do that.
Well, with the British accent, Americans still flip over British accents.
Stroke my hair. Hair. Can't even do it in my own hair. Ha! That's too much.
Stroke my hair.
Get the horse.
That's my big walrus mustache, man. Pass me the whiskey.
Oh, my gosh.
We should
just
so,
get like
all right.
That.
So let's wrap this up with the three standard closing questions that I ask everybody on the podcast. The first one is, what motivates you?
Long pause that was needed.
Dramatic pause.
Others? Sorry. Pause. Sorry, is that okay? You're like, that's not good enough.
No, it's others. Fine. There's no wrong answer except for that one. Just kidding.
So mean. What happened?
Bazing! Just kidding. Okay, so the second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now starting out down a similar path?
You're good enough and you're worthy.
Fair. Okay, last question.
That one.
Like hardest one. If you can only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
Oh, she said it right. That was probably my easiest. Actually, sometimes I take forever because the brain isn't engaged. Singing in the Rain. I actually wrote down, do you know what I did? So I'm like, oh, I'll do my research, as in not really, but I just wrote down, you know, because sometimes there's things going on, but I wanted to remind myself, like, what, like, the shows that I really like, and there's probably shows I haven't even seen, Hamilton. I'm horrendous and I'm disgusting. Judge me now.
That's not positive energy. You're not horrendous.
Comedic way, does it count? Put an edge on it. But I didn't really mean it. There's an edge on it. I filtered it. I don't like West Side Story, you know?
Yeah, like, yes.
Oh, some of the classics. I don't want to say that. Phantom of the Opera, Les Misérables, you know, so.
I grew up on VHS tapes of West Side Story, Music Man, and Singing in the Rain. So those are my
Singing in the
Those are my three jams.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I always go like, watch my mouth, and nobody gets it.
And I can't stand it.
I can't stand it.
I don't understand. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Okay, so tell us where we can find you online, and how can we book voice lessons, subscribe to your amazing videos, give us all the socials.
Okay, so website, RebeccaVocalAthlete.com. Most things are on there. I have Wizio where you can upload your singing to me, or of course I do lessons, but if you just want a quick response, wizio.com/RebeccaVocalAthlete, deep breath, to the belly, and Instagram, RebeccaVocalAthlete, and I think Twitter. Does anyone like Twitter? Any Twitter fans out there?
Anybody like
RBA
Twitter out here?
_ official. I'm so good at this.
RVA.
I have Patreon as well. There's so many websites, but then you're a bit like, okay, we need to like wrap up.
We'll put them on the show notes. But yes, now you are, everything is done digitally anyway. So anyone who is in any country, obviously for your schedule, can schedule voice lessons.
Yes, voice lessons I am doing. And I forgot to mention Spotify.
But Spotify.
For now, it's I know it's. I don't want to confuse people more so. But RVA, so r.space_b/a. Just otherwise you can't find. And that's why I'm going to choose. I've chosen a new artist name just to make life easy. So who wants life really hard?
Not me.
It happens, right?
Yeah. Well, you can find more of me at thetheaterpodcast.com. I have Patreon too at thetheaterpodcast.com/Patreon. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast. Please leave a reading, leave a review wherever you're listening. This has been edited by Matthew Hendershot. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and outro music. I'm wearing this shirt today. Ta-da! Then Rebecca Moore, a.k.a. Rebecca Vocal. Vocal athlete. I need to do my warm-up.
Fucking touch.
A.k.a. Rebecca Vocal athlete. Vocal athlete. Thank you.
Wait, I prefer that.
Vocal athlete. Rebecca Vocal Athlete.
Wait, it's too much there.
Oh.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.